Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
So let me ask you a question. When you are feeling overwhelmed and like stressed out and you're beyond tired. You're not just tired, you're beyond tired. You're feeling the burn. You're starting to feel overwhelmed. What do you do with that? Seriously, think about it. That's a rhetorical question. What do you do with that when you're at that point in your life? You know, lots of times when we get to that point, we start dumping things off our plate, right? I mean, that's logical. You got a lot going on, you start dumping stuff. Okay, well, how can I get rid of that? It's natural to start getting rid of stuff when we're feeling overwhelmed. And there's nothing wrong with that if you're letting go of the right things. You got to make sure you're letting go of the right things. But to be honest, taking things off your plate is really only a temporary solution. It's temporary. It's not a permanent solution. You're just band-aiding the situation in the moment. And it might not be the best solution. Because you know what? When you're feeling overwhelmed, stressed out, just like with any other issue you got going on, you need to get to the root of that. Why is that happening? And if it's happening over and over and over, why is it happening over and over and over? You got to get to the root of a problem before you can ever work through the solution, before you can ever avoid it in the first place. So today I want to talk with y'all about what to do when you're feeling overwhelmed. And our base cramp scripture is going to be in Matthew chapter 11. So y'all bring y'all's paper Bibles this morning? Yes. Hello? Y'all brought your paper Bibles? Bring your paper Bibles. I'm telling you right now, unless you got it memorized, you need a paper Bible. You can write in it. You can highlight it. You never know when the internet's going to go down. That's going to be my sword I fall on. Y'all get you a paper Bible. And if you don't have one, we'll help you. We'll help you with that. Matthew, first book of the New Testament. We're going to start in chapter 11. Are y'all there? Yes. Okay. This is what it says. This is Jesus talking, y'all. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, in addiction recovery groups, I don't know if any of y'all have ever been involved in that, but in addiction recovery groups, they say that the first step to recovery is actually recognizing that you have a problem and realizing that you are powerless to solve it. Well, the same thing's true when it comes to feeling overwhelmed. The first step to freedom, if you're taking notes, write this one down. The first step to freedom when you're feeling overwhelmed is to recognize how you're feeling and that you cannot solve that problem on your own. And, you know, I think most of us don't really struggle with recognizing when we're feeling overwhelmed. You know when you're overwhelmed, you feel it, right? You might not want to admit it, but you know when you've gotten too close to the edge. You know. So you start trying to deal with it one way or the other. And some people, they just keep powering through. No, I'm not really, I can handle this, I can do it, I can handle this. And they think they can handle it until they can't. Now, other people, when you're feeling overwhelmed, you start looking for things to offload. I'm getting rid of this, getting rid of that. And I want you to notice something. Usually, the first thing we start offloading or getting rid of are the things of God in our lives. It's not all of a sudden. It's not an all of a sudden thing. It's more like a gradual process, a slow fade. We stop spending time daily in His Word. Really meditating on it. Maybe we still do it. We still read His Word, but we rush through it like we're checking off a box. We're not contemplating it. We're not sitting in the Word of God like we used to. Maybe, you know, you start missing church. You're tired. You got a lot to do in the next coming week. You need some rest. So you think, oh, I'll just blow off church. It'll be all right. And, you know, what's really ironic about that is that church is the place you need to be when you're feeling overwhelmed. It's not stressful in here. Uh-uh. This is where you find rest and the peace of the Lord in His house with His people. So cutting out church when you're stressed, that's the worst thing you can do. In Matthew 11, Jesus says we're supposed to come to Him, not run away from Him. And honestly, again, I don't think coming to Jesus is the hardest part when you're feeling overwhelmed. I mean, most people, even unbelievers, they turn to God when something's really bad. There's an old school saying where there ain't no atheists in a foxhole. I don't know if some of y'all know what that means, but it's all right. We don't have a problem recognizing when we're feeling overwhelmed. And we may not even have a problem calling out to God when we're at that point, right? Usually, the biggest struggle that we have is realizing we are powerless to do anything about it. Lots of people will pray about their situation, but they never fully release it to Jesus. You keep working the problem. I'm not talking to somebody up in here today. I'm just saying, you keep working the problem. You're analyzing, you're strategizing, you're trying to figure it out. You're trying to get your fingers on it and finger it out. And it never occurs to actually pray about it, then wait and listen for the Lord to talk to you. We think that if we prayed about it, all right, well, that's all we got to do. I'm just going to go ahead and do what I planned on doing. And you know what happens when we do that? We start asking God to bless our plans. That's not the way it works, y'all. Not the way it works. We need to wait for confirmation from the Lord. And maybe you don't do that. Maybe you start praying and then you go straight to the Word. You go straight to the Scriptures. And you're searching the Bible for Scriptures that are going to confirm what you already decided you're going to do. Just saying. And then there are other people. These are my super spiritual people. Love it. They're looking for a sign from the Lord. I need a sign from the Lord. Lord, give me a sign. Show me something. And then the second they see something that lines up with what they've already decided in their mind they're going to do, oh, that's God. He confirmed it. There you go. You know what, y'all? I know some Jesus-loving believers. They love the Lord with all their heart. They trust God a little bit. And you know what? They treat the Bible like it's one of those little magic eight balls that you get at Walmart in the toy section. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all real holy people don't know what I'm talking about. But for the rest of us, you know that little black ball, you shake it up, you ask it a question, you shake it up, and then this little weird answer pops up in the window. Y'all, that's giving witchcraft. And people do that with the Bible. They'll pray about something, and they'll say, okay, Lord, speak to me. And they just open it up. And the first thing they see, that's their answer. And, oh, that's the Lord. Y'all, that's real manipulative right there. I'm telling you, it's giving witchcraft. Not to mention, now I'm going to get serious with this. Not to mention, when you do that kind of stuff, you are opening the door for all kinds of issues to come on you because you're giving the devil permission when you start manipulating things. I'm just saying, be careful with that. Be careful if you're always asking God for a sign. Because you know what? Not everything you see or you hear is from God. Even if it seems to line up with Scripture, and especially if it seems to validate what you want to do. Because let me tell you something, the devil will give you a sign. He's just waiting. He's waiting to give you a sign and confuse you. He is the author of confusion. That's the enemy. You know, here's the thing I need you to know about the devil. He can't be everywhere all the time. That's only God can do that. God is everywhere all the time. The enemy isn't. However, the Bible's clear. It says when he got thrown out of heaven, there was a bunch of angels went with him. Those are the demonic spirits that are roaming around oppressing people. And so let me tell you something. When you speak out loud and you keep saying, I'm so tired. I feel so overwhelmed. I need a sign from God. Lord, show me a sign. Show me a sign. You're saying that stuff out loud. There are monitoring spirits assigned, demons assigned to listen to you. Again, devil can't be everywhere. So he's got his little minions. Demons, and they're listening to what you say. This is why you have to be careful with what you're saying. Your spoken words are going to get back to the enemy. And he'll be more than happy to send you a sign. And let me tell you something. If you follow that sign, it's going to lead you way far away from God. Let me just say this. When you're new to the faith, God knows that. And it's okay if you need to ask him for a sign. God understands. He understands. Maybe that might be what you need. But there comes a point in your walk with God, when we have to grow up past always needing a sign, we got to learn to stand on faith, stand on the word of God, trust the Lord, trust that what he says in his word is yea and amen. You ain't got to be questioning it all the time. What he says here is what he says. He said what he said. You don't need to be asking for a sign all the time, because you know what? Jesus rebuked the church people, the Pharisees, because they kept wanting a sign from God. They didn't trust Jesus. And he told them, y'all jacked up. Jesus wants us to bring our burdens to him. So when you're feeling overwhelmed, pray about it. Seek God's word, even when it's hard to understand the Bible. I know sometimes the Bible is, it's hard to understand it sometimes. And a lot of times you can't understand it without the help of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. That's right.
The Holy Spirit is our helper. That's the whole point. So before, when you're getting ready to read the Bible, pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand what you're reading. And ask him to help you understand when God is speaking through his word. And this is important, y'all, because we're supposed to turn to God's word for guidance, for wisdom, not to find scriptures that line up with what we want to do. Scripture is meant to guide our decisions, not validate them. And let me tell you something. God's word is never, ever meant to be used to control somebody else, a situation. Never. Or it's never meant to control the outcome of anything. When we're doing that, when we're trying to control people or situations to get what we want, that's manipulation. And the Bible likens that to witchcraft. You know, control is a very dangerous thing, y'all. Yet lots of times it's exactly what we start trying to do when we're feeling overwhelmed. What? You see how counterintuitive that is? But people do that. They start trying to control the outcome. And some people, they don't even see a problem with that. They're like, I have to be in control of things. They're not going to turn out right. If that's you, be careful with that, y'all. God didn't create any of us to be in control. That's his job. That's not our job. And if you're out there saying, identifying as a control freak, oh, I'm just a control freak, whatever you want to call it. No, you're not. Stop saying that, because you're agreeing with the enemy. Stop saying that. Sometimes we got to shut our mouths. I know sometimes I need to shut my mouth. Pastor Bob will tell me, zip it. If you're saying those kind of things, stop saying that, y'all. You're agreeing with the enemy. He's the one who's telling you, you got to be in control to make everything turn out right. And he wants you to believe it. So if he can get you to say it, what you say out loud, your mind will start believing. That's the whole way he works. The devil knows, well, I'm about to tell you right now, control is an illusion. But he'll dress it up. All right, I'll say it again. Control is an illusion, and the enemy wants you to believe that control is real. He wants you to believe it's real. He wants you to believe that if you could just get in there and figure everything out and take control of the situation, everything's going to be all right. And you know why he wants to do that? Or let's say it this way. You know how he does that? How he gets you to think you need to control things? Fear. Fear. He'll plant a seed of fear in your mind, in your heart. And it can be about anything. Maybe about your kids, your job, your relationships, whatever. Any area that he thinks is going to be the most effective area for him to get you all worked up and afraid about. Wherever he thinks that seed of fear has the best chance of growing. And if you don't recognize that, you don't let that seed of fear take root. And the next thing you know, you're stressing out, striving, trying to control some potential situation that hadn't even happened yet. A friend of mine calls it future tripping. Yeah. That's what it is. You're tripping on something that ain't even happened because you let the enemy get in your head and lie to you and make you afraid of what? What? Something that might happen? You got to recognize that, because if you don't recognize it, you're going to let that seed get in there, take root, striving, working, trying to control things. You got to learn to push back against fear and turn to Jesus, because that's where we find rest. Let me tell you something, y'all. when you're resting in Jesus, you're not going to get overwhelmed. Think about it. When you are resting in Jesus, you're not going to get overwhelmed. Even when things are out of your control, that's not going to take you out when you're resting in Jesus. You know what? There was something that happened in my life and my daughter's lives years ago when I was a single mom. And God used that to teach me this very thing that I'm trying to help y'all with today. This is what happened. I had a job. I was a single mom. I had to work, right? So I had a job, and it was way on the other side of Houston, way in the medical center, and we lived like towards the Woodlands. And so it was like an hour away. And one day it was in the afternoon, and I was still at work. I was working in the hospital, so it was long hours, good money, long hours. So that meant the girls were home a lot by themselves. But we had these safety rules. We lived in Houston, y'all, straight up. So we had rules. And I told them, this is what you do. This is what you don't do. Nobody gets in the house if I'm not there. Don't be answering the door, none of that. We had rules. And the girls were good about following the rules when it came to that. Y'all hear what I said? Anyway. So we had these safety guidelines and situations. But one day, I get a phone call. And there's this whole situation happening. My daughters were in danger. And so I left work, but there is no way I could have gotten an hour across Houston quick enough to save them, to protect them, to take care of them. So I had no choice. I prayed all the way home, Lord, watch over my girls, get me home safely, handle this situation, cover them. I put my daughters and the entire situation in the hands of Jesus. That's all I could do, y'all. I was literally powerless to do anything in that moment. And you know what? By the time I got home, my girls were safe. The situation was basically resolved. And this was a scary event. This was a very, very frightening, traumatic event. The girls were afraid. I was afraid. But let me tell you something. At no point did I consider changing the way we lived our lives. No. First of all, that wasn't even an option, okay, number one. But God knew that wasn't an option, and he knew I trusted him. He knew he was everything to me. He still is. And so he showed me when I was praying so fervently with all my heart on the way home, he showed me, look, I'm going to take care of your girls. You trust me. They belong to me first before they belong to you. That's what the Lord showed me. Those are my girls. He goes, I'm going to take care of them. Because I want you to trust me. And when I had no choice but to trust God, that gave him space to move. That gave him space to prove himself trustworthy. Get out of the way. We got to get out of the way sometimes. Let me tell you something. When the dust had settled and that whole situation was over, I did not allow fear to creep back in my mind, to start trying to get me all stressed out and worried and future tripping on all the what ifs that could have happened. I never allowed myself to believe that something bad might happen to my girls. That doesn't mean I didn't think it. That thought came into my mind, but I didn't let it stay there. See, that's the key. You can't let that thought stay there. Don't be playing with that. You know what? I know what I'm telling you now. Fear is from the devil. It is from the devil. God did not give us a spirit of fear. As a matter of fact, 1 Timothy says God gave us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind, not a stressed out, worried, scared, terrified mind. So when you're facing that fear comes, that's not from God. Just know it. That's not from God. That's from the enemy. So you know what? Every time I would get a little fearful thought creeping, I'd like, nope, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I have not been given a spirit of fear. You got to rebuke those fearful thoughts, y'all. Don't allow them to take control of your mind. And the only way you can do that is when you are resting in Jesus and the truth of his word. Focus our thoughts on Jesus. That gives us peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace whose thoughts are fixed on you. He keeps us in peace when we're focused on Jesus. So when you're feeling overwhelmed and stressed out, take all that to Jesus and then give it to him and let him give you rest. Find your rest in Jesus. You know when a vehicle's running, the engine's running, but it's not going nowhere? It's just running. The engine is idling. That's what they call it. The engine is idling. And the vehicle's not going anywhere, but the engine's still on. It's still moving. It's still getting hot. It's still running. It's still using fuel as it idles. Well, sometimes we can get confused and think rest is idleness. You're not doing anything. You must be resting. No, but your mind is still racing. You still worry. You're still stressed. You're still fearful. Biblical rest, the rest we find in Jesus, means we release everything to him, and then we let his peace fill our hearts and our minds. Take that fear and then exchange it for the peace of Jesus. I know that sounds simple. It's not always easy. You have to be intentional about it. But that's how the kingdom of God works. There's no magic formula. People want a magic formula. You want a pill. Like, I want to lose weight. Give me a shot. That's not the way it works in the kingdom of God, y'all. Stop all that. Stop thinking it's a magic bullet, a quick fix. No, the kingdom of heaven requires faith and trust in the Lord, period. Period. Let me tell you something. If you struggle with control, you're going to really struggle with that. I told y'all, y'all better buckle up today. I haven't been up here in a while, but I'm going to set it off. Let me tell you something. If you struggle with control, you're going to struggle with letting God take care of things. And you know why? Because control is a burden. The enemy wants you to struggle. He wants you to think you've got to control things. If you want to find rest in Jesus, you have to take him at his word. And when he says, in me, you will find rest. In fact, it's like that song said today. We find everything we need in Jesus. And you just got to settle that. You got to settle that. I'm telling you, you got to settle the word of the Lord. Just believe it. Yay and amen. You either do or you don't. Settle that in your spirit. That when Jesus says, in him we find rest, that in him we find rest. Too many people think that they're the source of whatever they have. Man, y'all, that's a prideful place to be. Oh, Lord, that's pride right there. Make you think that you created your world, that you're the captain of your ship, your job, your education, your everything. It's all, you're the source. You might be the source of the drama and the problems, but all the good stuff, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. You know why? Jesus said, John 15:5, that apart from him, we can do what? Absolutely nada. Nothing, as in no thing. Nada. In case there's any question here. That's what the word says. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can't do nothing. But if you remain in me, you bear good fruit, much fruit. We have to truly believe that Jesus is our source, not our job, not our education, not our cleverness, not some scheme we got working on the side. No, Jesus is our source for every single thing. And once we settle that in our hearts and minds, we can actually rest in him. The Bible says in Isaiah 9:6 that Jesus, now I'm going to need y'all to pay attention to this. Isaiah 9:6, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace that God sent to us so that in him we can have peace. That's the point. Well, if that's part of the plan for Jesus in our lives so that we can have peace, then we need to believe that he's bringing us peace. Let me just say this, though. Peace doesn't mean that your problems are gone. Doesn't mean that there's not a whole lot of stuff. You could still overwhelm you. But when you rest in Jesus, it'll soothe your mind, even when the problems are still there. And you know why? It's because you're trusting Jesus and you really believe that somehow it's all going to work out because you gave it to God. And you know what? Another thing about the peace of Jesus is that it shuts down fear like that. Philippians 4:7 says that the peace of Jesus guards our hearts and minds. It guards us against racing, fear-filled, overwhelming thoughts. Jesus says we bring our burdens to him and then we release them. Then he says we take up his yoke and learn from him. You can't take up something when you're holding something else in your hand. You got to release the burdens and take up the yoke of Jesus. In the Bible, the term yoke usually is used to describe this big wooden beam. It's not like a yoke now on livestock. The old school Bible yoke was this big, heavy wooden beam that they would place between two oxen or two animals, two beasts of burden, to help them carry the load, kind of distribute the weight, right? Well, Jesus uses this term to show us that when we are yoked to him, when we connect our lives to him, our burdens are bearable.
Yes.
They're bearable. And connecting your life to Jesus means, first of all, you receive him as your Lord and Savior. Then you follow his teachings as a pattern for your life. You live in step with Jesus. You're not over here off on your own doing your own thing. You're not in front of him. You are in step with Jesus. And when you do that, the things you're carrying are not going to weigh you down. He helps you. In Matthew 11:30, Jesus says that his yoke is easy and the burden is light. What that means is following Jesus isn't hard. We think it's hard. I don't know where we get that. But it's not hard. And the more we do it, the easier it gets. You know why? Because it becomes part of who you really are. It just becomes how you live your life. You're not trying to live this way, one way, and this way. No. You're just living for Jesus. And it gets easier. It's who you are. And let me tell you something. It is an easier way to live. You know, I look back over my life before Jesus, and man, you talk about drama. There was always something, you know, struggling to pay the bills, struggling to get them kids act right, always struggling and rushing and just striving and just all this pressure. There was always some kind of burden in my life. This is before Jesus. And even when things were fun, I was living my best life in my own brain. It was hard. Y'all, the music always stops. And hangovers get old after a while. I'm just telling you. Ungodly relationships, ungodly soul ties, they bring a lot of drama into your life. They are hard to maintain. Not to mention, there's never going to be peace when we're walking against what God says to do. You're never going to have it. You know why? Because you've allowed demonic oppression into your life by opening the door, by agreeing with the enemy and disobeying God. That's as simple as I can put it. Y'all get mad, I'm just saying. Let me say something. Even when I thought I was living my best life before Jesus, having all this fun, I look back now and I realize I really wasn't. I wasn't. And you know what's interesting? This is what's really interesting. My life now is way more busy, way more full than it ever was back then. I got a billion things to do. Maybe not a billion, but I got a lot of stuff to do, y'all. A lot of stuff. And you know what? Most of what I'm doing involves the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't feel heavy. It's a lot, but it doesn't feel heavy. Pastoring is heavy. It's a mantle, and God calls you to it. I'm going to tell you that right now. But when God calls you, when he appoints you to something, he anoints it.
Yes.
And so despite the mantle I'm carrying, it's not heavy.
Yeah.
It's not heavy because Jesus is carrying it with me.
Yeah.
We got to remember that.
Yes.
We got to remember that. You know, there's something else you need to know about that word yoke. Just remember, Jesus is always super intentional with his word. There's a reason behind everything he says. Yoke in the Bible was also a symbol of bondage. All throughout scripture, the Bible uses the word yoke to describe some type of bondage. For example, Galatians 5:1, it refers to the yoke of slavery. Isaiah 58:6, it's talking about being imprisoned by the straps on the yoke. Leviticus 26:13 says the yoke has bars, kind of bars like prison bars. All throughout scripture, yoke is referred to, except for Jesus, as some kind of bondage. And a yoke of bondage is heavy because it didn't come from God. Anything that takes you away from what God has given you is a yoke of bondage. Anything that distorts or corrupts who God made you to be is a yoke of bondage. Anything that brings lies, destroys, kills, or steals your joy or your dream, bondage. Bondage. And if you notice, there's a pattern here. It's all from Satan. Remember, he's the one who wants us in bondage. He wants us in bondage because he knows that weakens us. And the devil attacks when we're weak. I need you to remember that. The devil attacks when you're weak, when you're tired, you're sick, you're overworked, you're stressed out. That is when you're weak. And this is exactly why Satan wants us overwhelmed, feeling overwhelmed, because it weakens us. He wants us to take on too much because he knows it's going to weaken us and make us vulnerable. And then he can pounce in and attack us and destroy everything God has given us in our lives. I know that sounds heavy. That's all right. We're in church. I'm going to tell you the truth. And you know what? The sad part is that we actually give the enemy permission to put chains of bondage on us when we agree with him. And we do that when we take on things that God never gave us to carry. You're taking on a burden God didn't give you. How's that going to work? It's not. It's bondage. Jesus uses the word in Matthew, the word yoke in Matthew chapter 11, as an alternative to the yoke of the world. He refers to his yoke as easy. And he's contrasting the ease of living with him as opposed to living for the world. Jesus is saying, you don't have to carry the heaviness of this world when you're living your life with me at the center. That's what he's saying. Stephen, if you'll come, I'm gonna wrap this up. Y'all looking nervous. That's all right. It's getting hot in here anyway. Friends, life has challenges. Life has challenges. We will face hard times. We got to settle that. I mean, who said it was going to be easy? No, Jesus said in this life, we will have trouble. But he didn't stop there. He finished the thought. He said, I have overcome the world. There's trouble in this world, but I have overcome it. That's all the trouble. So if you're struggling with feeling overwhelmed, overworked, stressed out, let me encourage you. Look deeper. Look deeper at what's really going on there. And ask God to show you. Show if there's an area, maybe an area of control that you need to release to Jesus. And then just let it go, friend. There is freedom when you let control go. Let me just say this. When we think that somehow we can control anything, we are going to work really hard to do it. But we never will be able to do it. Let it go. Let it go. Don't worry about controlling everything. You ain't got to worry about what your kids are wearing all the time. Let them come to church looking throat. It's okay. You don't have to control everything in everybody's life. If your house is messy, it's all right. What are you trying out for the Architectural Digest? It's okay. You know, you got to let go of control. I'm going to stay here because control is a problem. It's a problem. And I think for women, it's a big problem. And I know for us type A'ers, it's a real problem. But it's pride, y'all. I'm going to call it what it is. It's pride thinking that we could ever control anything in this world. We can't even control ourselves. Ask God to show you if there's an area of control, you need to release it and then let it go. And if you've got a plan to lighten your load, take that to Jesus first. Take it to Jesus first before you make a move. In fact, give all your plans to God and then see what he wants to do. Give him room to work on your behalf. You know, some miracles, they just need space. Remember, when the burdens of life get too heavy, Jesus is calling you. He's calling you unto himself. He's calling you by your name. He knows exactly where you are right now in this moment. He knows exactly where you are in the morning, and he's always calling you. Come and find rest in me. And you know, I believe right now, there are people in this room that Jesus is calling you into a relationship with him. You know, you might have prayed a prayer a while back, and you know, you start off on the right path, and something happened, and you know, things are just all twisted. And Jesus is calling you back. He's calling you back. Maybe you never even knew him. Friend, Jesus is calling you right now. You are here for a reason. It's not an accident, incident, coincidence. No. God drew you into his house today because Jesus is calling you. If you have never given your life to Jesus, you're here because he wants you to. He wants a relationship with you. A close, personal relationship. You know, the Bible says he sticks closer than a brother. It means he's right there. He wants that relationship with you. You know, maybe there's others here today and God's trying to disciple you. He's discipling you. He's trying to bring you up higher to get you to depend on him and stop relying on your own strength. And I know some of y'all are tired. I know what it feels like. You're feeling overwhelmed and Jesus is just gently calling you and saying, friend, give that to me. Come rest at my feet because in me you will find rest. Will you bow your heads? Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it truly is sharper than a double-edged sword. It cuts through all the noise in our thoughts. It cuts through all of our misinterpreted ideas and plans and schemes. It just cuts through all the garbage, Lord, and shows us the truth. It gets to the heart of the matter. And at the heart of the matter is our hearts for you, Lord. I pray right now, if there is someone here who doesn't know you, God, that you're just drawing them in with bands and cords of love and mercy. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to have your way. Have your way in God's house. Reach people, Lord. Call them into you. Let them know that your burden is not heavy. Your burden is light. Following you, living for you, trusting you is a better way to live, Lord. Pray right now in the name of Jesus. You let people understand that. And then you give them the courage to release their lives to you, Father. I thank you for your word, God. I thank you for who you are. You never give up on us. You never turn your back on us, no matter what we're doing. You are always there pursuing us and loving us and calling us back. Thank you, Father. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name. Just stay in this holy moment just a little bit longer. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And let me just ask you, if you want to make Jesus the Lord of your Savior, if you're saying, Pastor, I believe this. I need Jesus in my life. Or maybe you're saying, I've gotten off. I need to come back. If that's you, right now, that relationship can be restored. That relationship can be started in the name of Jesus. All you got to do is pray a simple prayer and then mean it with your whole heart. It's not about the prayer. It's about your heart posture towards God. Mean it with your whole heart and you will be saved. I'm going to ask believers here, let's pray it together and to encourage those who want to make a decision for Jesus. All you got to do is say, Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm asking you to save me. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.